Chapter 1
"Who?" said the man occupying my new apartment.
"Trace Navarre," I said. I pressed the lease agreement against the screen door again so he could see. It was about 100 degrees on the front porch of the small in-law apartment. The air conditioning from inside was bleeding through the screen door and evaporating on my face. Somehow, that just made it seem hotter. The man inside my apartment glanced at the paper, then squinted at me like I was some bizarre piece of modern art. Through the metal screen, he looked even uglier than he probably was. Heavy set, about 40, crew cut, features all pinched toward the center of his face. He was bare-chested and wore the kind of thick polyester gym shorts only P.E. coaches wear. "Use small words," I thought. "I rented this apartment for July 15th. You were supposed to move out by then. It's July 24th. No signs of remorse from the coach. He looked back over his shoulder, distracted by a double play on the TV. He looked at me again, now slightly annoyed.
"Look, asshole," he said. "I told Gary I needed a few extra weeks. My transfer hasn't come through yet, okay? Maybe August you can have it."
We stared at each other. In the pecan tree next to the steps, a few thousand cicadas decided to start their metallic chirping. I looked back at the cabbie, who was still waiting at the curb, happily reading his TV guide while the meter ran. Then I turned back to the coach and smiled, friendly, diplomatic. "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what. I've got the moving van coming here tomorrow from California. That means you've got to be out of here today. Since you've had a free week on my tab already, I figure I can give you an extra hour or so. I'm going to get my bags out of the cab, then when I come back, you can let me in and start packing." If it was possible for his eyes to squint any closer together, they did.
"What the fuck?"
I turned my back on him and went out to the cab. I hadn't brought much with me on the plane, one bag for clothes and one for books, plus Robert Johnson in his carrying cage. I collected my things, asked the cabbie to wait, then walked back up the sidewalk. Pecans crunched under my feet. Robert Johnson was silent, still disoriented from his traumatic flight. The house didn't look much better on a second take. Like most of the other sleeping giants on Queen Anne Street, number 90 had two stories, an ancient green-shingled roof, bare wood siding where the white paint had peeled away, a huge screened-in front porch sagging under tons of red bougainvillea. The right side of the building, where the in-law's smaller porch stuck out, had shifted on its foundations and now drooped down and backward, as if that half of the house had suffered a stroke. The coach had opened the door for me. In fact, he was standing in it now, smiling, holding a baseball bat.
"I said August, asshole," he told me.
I set my bags and Robert Johnson's cage down on the bottom step. The coach smiled like he might at a dirty joke. One of his front teeth was two different colors.
"You ever try dental picks?" I said.
He developed a few new creases in his forehead.
"What?"
"Never mind," I said. "You got moving boxes or you just want to put your stuff in hefty bags? You strike me as a hefty bag man."
"Fuck you."
I smiled and walked up the steps. The porch was way too narrow to swing a bat, but he did his best to butt me in the chest with it. I moved sideways and stepped in next to him, grabbing his wrist. If you apply pressure correctly, you can use the Neguan point just above the wrist joint in place of CPR to stimulate the heart. One of the reasons Chinese grandmothers wear those long pins in their hair, in fact, is to prick the Neguan in case someone in the family has a heart attack. Apply pressure a little harder, and it sends a charge through the nervous system that is pretty unpleasant. The coach's face turned red. His pinched features loosened up in shock. The bat clattered down the steps. As he doubled over, clutching his arm, I pushed through the door. The TV was still going in the main room. A washed-up Saturday Night Live comedian was guzzling a light beer, surrounded by 5 or 6 cheerleaders. Nothing else in the room except a mattress and a pile of clothes in the